Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
So I want to talk about one of the topics that is most near and dear to my heart, which is the work. More specifically, doing the work. The work being the business of getting to know one's self and getting all the way to the bottom of who it is that we are. Getting back to our original, authentic, genuine self. Isn't that obvious? Don't we all know that? Well, maybe we do. But for many of us, and this is certainly me, myself included, that person got kind of buried over the years by expectation and assumptions and wanting to be one thing and then deciding to be something else or pretending to be one thing. Because I thought that it would be the proper, prudent course of action, when in fact it wasn't necessarily. And there's just so much conditioning. We are born the perfect version of us. Nobody has ever been born the way that you are, and nobody ever will be who you are. And that's a gift, literally a gift from God. It's a blessing. It's an amazing and beautiful thing. And then once that happens, society immediately starts to pile layers and layers and layers and layers and layers on top of us. And we have traumatic experiences that happen to us. Bad things happen to us. Good things happen to us. We're happy. We're sad. Just life. Life takes place. And we, over the first 7 years of our lives, get so much of our wiring sort of baked into us. We've got our DNA, we've got our nature, just the way that we are. And then there's the whole nurture thing, and it's all of our lived experiences and the things that we want and we pay attention to. And then you fast forward to whatever age you are in your life, and you have all that experience. And if we never, ever sit down and start to wonder and think about who it is that we really are, I think that that's a missed opportunity. And one of my favorite quotes is that the unexamined life is not worth living. And it's a conversation and a topic that philosophers and psychologists and religious leaders have been grappling with and talking about forever, for as long as we have been human beings experiencing the human condition and trying to get better and trying to lead lives that we truly do want. So that's the work. That is the work. But I think it's just the starting point of the work. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. If not enough of us are already doing the basic work, now George here is expecting us to do even more work. But tell you what, I'm a pragmatic guy, if nothing else. So I'm interested in talking about doing the work, but not the bumper sticker version, not the Instagram love and light version. I'm talking about the real thing, the messy, maddening, inconvenient, that stuff. Figuring out who the hell you're supposed to be before time runs out. Mark Twain famously said, most important day of your life is when you're born. The second day is when you figure out why. So, sounds dramatic. It is. The whole idea is to become who you are. Twain also said that human beings can be awful beasts, but they're also the only beasts who can improve themselves on purpose. So I love talking about human superpowers. So this idea of self-exploration, self-improvement, that is something which is uniquely human to all the beings and creatures on this planet. So a lot of people approach this idea of the work as if it's some kind of like a home improvement project where number one is we need to explore and fix our subconscious mind. We need to identify and patch up any limiting beliefs. Got to paint over childhood wounds in a nice shade of lavender, whatever your favorite color is, and then hang a sign that says live, laugh, love. All good. Done. Healed. But anybody who's ever actually done real inner work knows the truth, which is you don't finish it. You just rotate through it. One day, the work is shadow work. One day, it's reparenting. The next day, it's healing your inner child. That all kind of sounds like a polite way of saying negotiating with the terrorist or the raccoon that lives inside of your head. Then the next day, it's the work is it's my marriage, my relationships, my relationship with food, the way I talk to my kids, or how to manage stress. Yeah. Then it's gratitude. Then it's forgiveness. Then it's worrying about my phone addiction. Then it's, remember, I'm supposed to be drinking more water. So the whole thing is the work is not static. The work evolves because you evolve. And here's the real trick or the key. You never outgrow it. You never outgrow the work. You never finish the work. You just graduate to doing better, more impactful work. So I think that if Mark Twain were alive today, he'd say something along the lines of human beings are the only creatures who can look in the mirror, see the problem, and still blame the mirror. It's amazing, you know? That is also a human superpower right there. So not all human superpowers are positive necessarily. Some can be weapons of mass destruction, like our ability to blame the mirror, the thing that's reflecting back, or to simply explain away and rationalize why it is that we are where we are instead of actually doing anything about it. Just staying right where we are, but talking ourselves into accepting / tolerating why it is why we are where we are. I think that Twain would also remind us that people have been talking about self-improvement for centuries. And all that time, very few people have actually improved themselves on purpose. I think he'd say that most people treat personal development the same way they treat gym memberships. They love the idea of having one. And I think that you can see comedy in human effort, in striving. There's certainly humor in it. We want to be better, but we resist responsibility. We crave and desire wisdom, but we want shortcuts. We want freedom, but we negotiate with our vices like they owe us child support. We laugh at our contradictions. And I think that he would too. He'd laugh at how earnestly we say things like, I'm doing the work, while doing everything in our power to avoid doing the actual work. I'm certainly not trying to mock any effort. I think that our human spirits are one of the most amazing things that we have, even when we do ridiculous things with it. So to think of ourselves as this kind of a wonderful mess of clay and courage that when we fumble through things, it's important just to keep going. And it's important to laugh at ourselves, because if we can't laugh at ourselves, well, I suppose probably everybody else will. But now if you were to loop in one of my other favorites, Nietzsche, I don't think that he would have as much patience for us or find as much comedic relief in how it is that we're talking about and then actually interacting with ourselves. I think that Nietzsche would probably say something along the lines of just get moving, pick up the damn pack and, you know, start climbing. I know that Nietzsche viewed responsibility as more of a privilege than a burden. He thought about self-overcoming, so realizing our ultimate potential, overcoming our impulses, our learned behaviors as a sacred thing. And I know that he certainly thought about suffering as the path or the forge of becoming the best possible version of you. And every human being, that understanding that every one of us has a higher and better self that ought to be pulling us towards it. He'd say that we're not built for comfort. We're built to create, to withstand, and to rise in the face of all the adversity that we're facing. So I think that he would certainly roll his eyes at the idea of that doing the work is just about healing or journaling or Ayurveda or sound baths or whatever, or reading your horoscope or your human design, or, you know, rearranging your crystals in some new way. And it's not because the healing is bad, but because healing is just the entry fee. It's not the entire journey. That's the first step of this. Nietzsche believed the work is becoming powerful in the moral sense. Think about the virtue of strength. If you're not a strong person, that doesn't make you a virtuous person. If you do not have the ability to...
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
To do bad things, then you not doing bad things isn't a virtue. A virtuous person is the strongest person from a emotional, from a mental, from a physical, from a financial standpoint, that chooses to do the right thing regardless, because they have the ability to do anything, but they choose to do things the correct way. That's real virtue. So Nietzsche would think about work as becoming powerful from a self-mastery standpoint, from a discipline standpoint, from an integrity standpoint, from a purpose, a creative expression, and from a will standpoint. I think he'd tell us that the highest form of human life is a person who says, I take full responsibility for who I become. I take full responsibility for who I become. There's no excuses. There's no outsourcing. There's no spiritual customer service desk. Life is not about perfection. Life is about being a good steward. It's about being a good steward of our most valuable resources of time, energy, attention, and money. It's about recognizing the value of our relationships. It's about recognizing the value of our health. It's keeping a close eye on our habits, whether they're serving us or not, whether they're moving us closer to that highest version of ourselves or taking us further away. And it's working to figure out what our purpose and what our meaning is. So the work is not just internal. Sometimes it's also apologizing. When you interact with the world the way that I do, which is fairly cavalierly and mildly stridently, I find myself having to apologize for my bad behavior sometimes. And not necessarily bad behavior, for my choices that negatively impact other people. But a big part of that is recognizing when your choices impact other people. Negatively, positively, neutral. And then when it's necessary, when it's called for, you'll say, I'm sorry for doing that. I apologize. The work is also making sure that I'm here, that I'm listening, that I'm being an active listener. I think that one of the greatest gifts we can give another person is our 100% undivided attention, especially today. The work is eating like an adult. It's eating like a freaking grown-up. It's not covering everything in sugar. My goodness. Eat healthy. Make good decisions. It's fixing your calendar. It's understanding these are my priorities. And you can say that you have a priority, that something is the most important thing, but where's the evidence of it? If it's not in your calendar, then it's not really a priority. So the work is knowing these are the things that matter most. This is what must be done in service of what matters. Doing it. And doing it means it's in your calendar. And then you honor the time that you've allocated to that thing. Doing the work means saying no. When you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to everything else. Literally. But when you say no, you're still leaving the universe of possibilities and potentials open to you. And remembering that no is in fact a complete sentence. It's boundaries. And it's saying yes to the right things. What are the right things? You need to understand and figure out what the right things are for you. What's the right thing for you to spend your money on? What's the right thing for you to invest in? What's the right career decision for you? What's the right course of action to have a better relationship with your spouse or your children or your parents? What's the right course of action for your diet? What's the right course of action for your exercise program? These are the things you say yes to. You surface your meaningful few activities in each of the six most important areas of your life. You say no to everything else, and you protect it by putting that into your calendar. And sometimes the work is taking a nap. I'm not advocating, nor have I ever advocated, for any kind of an infinity war. I'm not propagating hustle pornography. I'm not asking you to work 365 days a year and 24 hours a day. Nothing like that at all. I don't care how many days a week you work. I don't care how many hours. I don't care if you take naps every day. Some of the greatest minds that have ever used their minds are big proponents of naps. And maybe I say that because I like to take naps, but I don't think so. It's all about recognizing, well, how am I showing up at my best? What is required? What is necessary? What do I need to give myself? And then give that to yourself. So sometimes the work is pretty simple. It's behaving like the person you claim that you want to be. The work is oftentimes an ongoing negotiation between who you are and who you could, or who you will, who you want to become. And that's a daily negotiation, because you change every day. Your life changes. Your responsibilities change. Your relationship change. And so that makes the work a moving target, because you, brothers and sisters, are moving targets. And like everything else in life, there are levels to this thing. You can walk through the whole idea here. Level one is just fixing your basics. It's making sure you're getting good sleep, eating good food, making good financial decisions, and setting boundaries on your relationships. Essentially, what I'm saying is don't blow yourself up. Don't spread yourself too thin. Don't give away the whole game. The next one is more healing, and it's understanding your past and your patterns. It's understanding what's going on in your shadows, as Kant likes to talk about. It's understanding your fears and really understanding what your stories are. What stories you're telling yourself. The next one is really getting into the responsibilities that you are gladly taking on, that you are taking on because you have to, all of them. It's living a life of integrity. It's having self-discipline. It's becoming as strong as you can be, and it's becoming the best at whatever it is that you do. And then a level that most people never reach is serving others. The term servant leadership just gets beaten up and gets thrown around to the point where it's trite. But serving others, being a mentor, being a leader, thinking about a legacy, and blessing the world with your gifts, which are uniquely you, because going back to the beginning, there's never been anybody like you, and there never will be anybody like you. And that's worth celebrating. It's worth being intentional about celebrating. It's worth being intentional in reminding yourself of that reality, and that you're worthy of doing the kind of work and having the kind of impact that you want to have. So, going back to this Nietzschean idea of eternal recurrence, would you happily live your life over and over and over again? You're happy to do it today, a life that you're proud of. And if the answer to that question is no, which I think that it is for most everybody, which is okay, that's where the work is. That's where the work is. So, the work is not a burden. The work is a blessing. It means you're still in the game. You're still being shaped. You're still capable of more. You're still becoming. You know what's worse than doing the work? Not being capable of doing it anymore. The work means you're alive. The work means you're awake. The work means you're participating in your own becoming. So here's the invitation. Ask yourself, where is the work right now? Where is the work for you right now? Not the work you wish you had. Not the work that looks great on social media. The real work. The one that's really calling your name. Maybe it's inside of you. Maybe it's in your relationships, your marriage. Maybe it's in your habits. Maybe it's in your purpose. Wherever that tension is greatest, that's where you find your assignment. So dig in. Do the work. Laugh at yourself. Rise. And to your future self, make sure that you are proud looking back and you've done work that you're proud of, work that you feel good about. Because we only got one shot at this, one time around the track. So I have to act accordingly. And fundamentally, what we're talking about, it's the same thing we're always talking about, which is doing your part by doing your best.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.